Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And I'm going to tell you something, Al, if it was a close call, his performance yesterday at that news conference would have done it for me. It's got to be mind-numbing when guys come on and say stuff that's so ignorant. In fact, let me run this by a top media person. From PhillyVoice.com and Forbes magazine, the best there is at Phillies and Eagles, the great Kevin Cootey. Hi, Kev.
Good morning, Angelo.
Kev, let's start with the biggest news yesterday. The Phillies signed Zach Wheeler, $118 million, 5 years. What'd you think of the move?
I'm okay. It's okay in the sense where it's an upgrade clearly on what they had in their starting rotation. My problem is you could have got Patrick Corbin. That's basically what you tried to get Patrick Corbin for last year. And you could have got Patrick Corbin if you went one extra year at same annual value. And to be honest, Patrick Corbin's a way better pitcher than Zach Wheeler. I'm worried about Wheeler's durability. Obviously he's missed already two full seasons. I'm worried about his consistency. He has a stretch where he'll look great, 8-9 starts in a row, and then look awful for 5-6 starts in a row. I think he could become the type of guy as well, and I'm not sure that is going to be maddening. For people to watch because you see the good side and you wonder why this guy doesn't do it all year round when he has a bad slump. So,
right, but Al's got a theory, Kevin, that he's a perfect guy that you can improve with good coaching.
Yeah, with
right,
Girardi here.
He has such a high upside and great, great arm that if you get him a tweak here or there, he's got an amazing fastball and he's got a good breaking ball. He's got two out pitches. Last year with that Mets team, the whole thing was a mess. The previous year, his numbers were really good.
And I think what you're going to hear is the idea that they're going to trust Brian Price, the new pitching coach on
right.
this one.
Yeah.
That Brian Price, who one time in Arizona, one time in Cincinnati, it was a good pitching coach. Wasn't a good manager, but a good pitching coach. They're going to say, well, Price will be able to work with Wheeler. But still, Angelo, they got to go get another starting pitcher here to make this work. They can't sit back. They're going to have to get creative. And obviously, I don't see them going for Gerrit Cole. I don't think they should go for Gerrit Cole. I think that if you look at the top of the, at the top of the market, that is always expensive. And I think always there's a big risk. That's why I'm even worried about the Wheeler contract a little bit. Maybe you sign somebody in Madison Bumgarner's market, comes down a little bit. Maybe you get him for 3 years. That may be better. Or, to be honest, I think they're going to have to get creative in the trade market and go maybe package a couple things and go get somebody who you may not know right now. You know, there may be some people who fly over at the trade market next week in San Diego who I think they're going to have to get. But they're going to have to go get another starting pitcher. He's going to be better, honestly, than Zach Wheeler.
All right, we are already all here. We haven't announced it officially, but Didi Gregorius is going to be a Philly. Are we right?
I would say there's a strong likelihood because of the ties he has with Joe Girardi. The Phillies, obviously, when you make the move to let both Hernandez and Franco go, and not that that wasn't completely expected, it was. But they obviously have some holes to fill in the middle infield. Gregorius allows them, if they want to keep Segura, they can move Segura the second and maybe Kingery the third. They can play in the sandbox a little bit with Josh Donaldson if that's what they want to do at third base and maybe try to get again Segura the second and maybe Kingery in center. They're going to get this again. McClintock's going to have to be creative here because they do have multiple holes to fix. And Angel, that was another part with the Wheeler contract. I'm not in love with. Are you going over the luxury tax at this point is going to be the next question because they're about $16, $17 million short right now of luxury tax. If you're going after Josh Donaldson, that may be the only move you can make. And you're going to still have to get another starting pitcher. You're probably going to have to get a couple other bullpen arms. they're going to have to get creative here to make this work. And that's what the real contract
based
is.
Based on what? They spent 300 and some million on Harper. They spent top of the market on Wheeler. What makes you think Middleton is going to be afraid of going over the luxury tax?
Because he said in that infamous press conference when the fire gave Kapler, I'm not going over the luxury tax just for a wild card. Angela, look at them right now. They are at best a wild card team.
The World Series this year?
All right, I don't need that tone.
No, who won? I'm sorry.
The Nationals won the World
and
Series.
They were?
They don't have Strasburg and Rendon now.
What were they?
They don't have Strasburg and Rendon.
They were a wild card team, so go get Cole, too.
All right.
Angela, one other point on this, okay?
Yep.
For as great as Wheeler, as the fans are going to portray Wheeler to be, and for as great as Aaron Nola has been, quote-unquote, over the last couple of years, how many meaningful games have they pitched in September and October?
None.
Well?
Well, that's why he only got $118 million in that $250 million. I mean, once you get it. All right. Harper hasn't done it either. Remember that? As soon as Harper left, they did it. All right, Kevin, I got a lot of the ground to cover here. I need one thing. I'm trying to plan my – I'm getting excited about the Phillies again because Gabe's not there, and I like Middleton. I like that he's so active. But I won't root for this team if Odubel Herrera is on the roster when the season opens. He will not be.
He will not be.
All right, thank you.
They cannot bring him back this point.
Thank you. I'm going to hold you to that. Now, Kevin, I want to this next question because you cover both teams. Who's a better owner, Lurie or Middleton?
Jeff Lurie has a ring.
All right. Well, I'm sorry. Middleton does too. He wants his damn trophy
wasn't
back.
As responsible
he wants
for that.
His back trophy. He wants his trophy back, Kevin. He's got a ring too.
John Middleton is a different type of owner. Just because you throw money at issues doesn't mean that the issues go away. And just look, I know what you're saying about Jeff Lurie, and you're probably going to say, and I know you're going to get to the coordinators, and you want Jim Schwartz fired and everything. Okay?
Yes, I do.
All right. Didn't Jeff Lurie do the same thing basically with Chip Kelly?
Well, Al made that point, but it was an entirely different situation. All right. Chip Kelly was also the GM, so Lurie at that point was the next ranking member of the organization. He had to do it. His GM wasn't going to fire his coach. They were the same guy. So he immediately saw that Kelly was not working out and got rid of him. But would he do it with Schwartz? I say no. And I say Middleton would. He just did it with Kapler.
Well, if you're going to use Jim Schwartz as a litmus test, and look, there's arguments about getting rid of Jim Schwartz, keeping Jim Schwartz, you can make both sides, okay? I would argue that the litmus test shouldn't be Jim Schwartz. It should be his general manager.
Right. Well,
if you want to bring this litmus test up of, you see something and you correct it, it's the way that the personnel was assembled on this team, which is the major problem. It is not.
All right, but I'm not firing the GM 2 years after he created a Super Bowl champion. I'm not getting rid of Howie 2 years later. I got to get rid of guys that are really not functioning right now. Schwartz gave up 600 yards of the Super Bowl. I want to get rid of him.
But the idea, Angelo, is the fact that maybe you don't get rid of Howie, but you play to Howie's strengths in contracts and the cap management and everything and bring a real football guy in for talent evaluation as opposed to – and look, Jim Schwartz, I think it is time to move on. They're going to move on from Mike Grell. I think that's clear as day, okay? But the idea is even if you bring in different coordinators here, if the personnel doesn't improve, it doesn't matter. They need to get better with their personnel across the board. Their drafts are killing them right now.
So why is it the talk of getting rid of Howie Roseman?
No, because he just won a Super Bowl. You're not getting rid of him,
Jim Schwartz.
Howie Roseman is not getting fired. All right, get used to that idea. That's a ridiculous notion. A, Lurie loves him. B, he won a Super Bowl.
Why hasn't he been talked about, though? Why isn't his job on the line?
He's hiding. I'll tell you that much. No, I'm not in good graces with him, but I'm not firing Howie Roseman 2 years after he won a Super Bowl.
No, you can't fire him, bring him back and fire him.
No, you can't. What is he, a yo-yo? All right, last thing, Kevin. Kevin, last thing. In order for the Eagles to make it, Rhea and I had a fight about this I'm going to bring up shortly because Rhea Hughes really wants the Cowboys to lose tonight, and I said it really doesn't matter. The Eagles have to win four in a row. Are they capable of it, Kev?
No.
Kev, hold on, Kev. You want to get back to me when you've thought it over, or you they cannot yeah, on, win the on. Next four?
Hold on. No.
Gotta love
them. I'm betting on it. I'm betting
Billy
on
Boyce.
It.
BillyVoice.com. Kev, always a pleasure. You're betting on four straight.
Yes.
You know, I was last week going five straight. And I went, well, we know we got the first one. We build off the Dolphin to get now I don't know what to think.
Eight and eight, seven.
I'm gonna tell you something else that bothers me. Oh, you know what bothers me?
A lot.
When I have a weak team, all right?
What?
A really great story.
This worries me.
It's a big story that Eli gets a final bye.
This worries me that his hand comes out of the grave here.
Right, Al, honestly, don't you? I mean, you've seen these things play out.
I know.
Lots of times, I think I would have been more comfortable with the kid. Just because the kid would make dumb mistakes, throw you the ball once in a while. Eli's going, wow, I get one more shot.
Well, you so bad talk he's about two more interceptions or two more turnovers.
You know what else made me nervous? The fact that Fitzpatrick, another old veteran, lit them up like a Christmas tree.
But he does. This guy does.
I mean, Al, this stuff that went on there. That game, Jim Schwartz, let me just give you one from Jim Schwartz. Because, Al, Jim Schwartz acknowledged that he had absolutely no answer for Fitzpatrick. All right? Do you want to know what Fitzpatrick's career record is?
Against him, 4-0, right?
4-0.
But overall, 53 wins and 81 losses.
Wow. Yeah.
His career passer rating is a less than mediocre 81.
Yeah.
81 out. And this guy, anytime he sees Jim Schwartz, becomes Joe Montana.
Yes.
And here is Schwartz yesterday trying to explain how he tried everything and nothing worked.
We went through a lot of different things to try to settle guys down. We had one series where I just said on the sideline, look, we're just going to be basic defense just to settle down, training camp type stuff. And we really trimmed everything and just said, look, let's just get comfortable and just go play. I think the quarterback went 6 for 6 and they scored a touchdown on that drive. So whether it was blitzing, whether it was playing zone, or whether it was playing sort of bread and butter stuff for us defensively, it wasn't our day.
Let me give you a translation. Jim Schwartz just said, a journeyman quarterback who's 53 and 81 was unstoppable.
Yeah.
Let that sink in.
A base defense.
If you are a defensive coordinator and you make that statement, clearly you don't know how to do your job. Right now, aren't you ultimately judged by results?
Yeah.
Five consecutive TD drives by a guy who's 53 and 81, and your comment 3 days later is, there was nothing we could do to stop him. Let that sink in for a minute. And then tell me why Jim Schwartz should still be employed here. Ryan's on the line next. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
What do you think of Schwartz's comments yesterday?
I thought his comments were good because you can't outplay or you can't outcoach bad playing. Does that make sense?
So you're saying to me that Mills and Darby, who you were told the last 2 weeks were Pro Bowl level, suddenly they forgot how to play on Sunday against Miami.
I don't think it's suddenly they forgot how to play. I don't even think Jalen Mills would be a good second corner.
But these are corners that he won a Super Bowl with.
Yeah, I know. It's 600 yards, but I still think he's a good coordinator. I just think their defensive backfield has been terrible for the last 10 years.
And right,
whoever's evaluating their talent when they're getting them.
That's an excellent point.
Can I put something else into the mix here? Where the hell's a defensive line? I mean, they couldn't get near that guy. The guy is a statue. Why could they not hit Ryan? Because the one way you're going to beat Eli is hit him. You know that. Eli can't move at all. You mean to tell me we can't get to that guy?
I'm scared about that game, too. Is Eli coming back? His last couple games?
All right, Ryan, I'm going to tell you something. Ryan, you sound terrified right now. Am I right?
Eli's coming. Yeah.
All right, Ryan, do you want to go to the game anyway?
Yeah, more than anything.
Here's what I got. I got Lenny Dykstra, Eric Lindros. I'm looking like Zach Wheeler, people that played both in the New York metropolitan area and Philadelphia.
My dad's favorite, Richie Ashburn.
Richie Ashburn is a great one.
Yep.
One of the great, great names of all time in this city. 888-729-9494. You got to hear, Rhea and I got into an argument earlier about tonight's game.
Yeah.
It's the Bears and the Cowboys.
Yeah.
And Rhea said, I really want the Cowboys to lose. And of course I do. I hate the Cowboys.
I could say that pretty much every week.
Yeah, really.
But it has no direct bearing on the Eagles. They got to win all four. Doesn't matter what happens tonight.
Well, Al, I tried this.
That's a huge bearing.
We'll come back because I'm gonna. Well, when I explain it, you'll understand my thinking.
I guess.
Oh, you're gonna remove math from the equation?
888 No, actually, it's about math. It's specifically about math. 888-729-9494 #9494 on your AT&T or Verizon cell phone. WIP Sports Time 7:15.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.